Okay, let's do a few more ideas on Baruch Sha'amar. First idea, Baruch Sha'amar v'choy olam baruch hu, Baruch Omer v'yosef baruch goes v'mekayim. What does it mean? Goyzer u'mekayim. So there are different interpretations. One interpretation is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person the koyach to be oimed b'nisayon. I once mentioned this to you. This is a controversial idea. There's such a saying that Hashem only gives you a nisayon that you can handle. A person is put in a very difficult situation in life, so other people look at that person, I don't know how he does it, I could never do it. And that's right, you could never do it.
But you've argued.
So I told you that by Reisman, I once heard of Reisman give a private vad where he ripped this idea to shreds. Okay, he says there's no such thing. You can't limit Hashem. You can't say to Hashem, you're limited. You can't give me the sionos, which I can't handle. Like on the Shparuch, who is infinite, Hashem can do what he wants.
But not handling is also a way of handling.
Okay, it's a very deep idea. It's a very interesting idea. This is what it says, the Olam says. You go out into the world, and you'll always hear people saying such a thing when the people are going through difficult times. If Hashem gave you this nisayon, it's because you can handle it. Hashem does not give a person a sin that you cannot handle.
He can give it to you because you handle. Any sign he gives you,
you can handle. You can deal with it.
You told us a different
story. Right, so I told you different opinions. So those who want to say that this is true, and I'm telling you, the Olam out there says it's true. They teach this to children. They say that it's true. It really comes from these words. Baruch gozer umikayim. Gozer has a connotation of a gezerah, something harsh. The Gemara, the Daf Yomi, not alone, throw the Eretz gezerah. You throw the Sol HaZazel, le Eretz gezerah. So the Gemara, what's gezerah? It has to be a harsh location where the animal will dismember upon impact. It will be a harsh impact. Gozer. So the gozer is a connotation of the Shparuch Hu, at times, we don't know why, brings upon the world, upon people, harsh decrees. But umekayim, Hashem allows them to endure, to survive. Hashem gives the person the koyach to exist, to be mekayim. Hashem caused the person to have a kiyum even through the harshness of the gezerah. So such an idea indeed is alluded to here in this expression, gozer umekayim. Okay, another short idea, which is very deep and profound, are the next two words, Baruch Oseh Vireishis. Now what does that mean? It simply means Hashem made the world. Baruch Oseh, the beginning, Bereishis. Bereishis is a code word for Bereishis. Baruch Elokim Es HaShemayim V'es Aretz. No?
No, I'm just thinking about what you just said. I mean, Hashem does provide human beings with coping mechanisms.
Right. Correct.
The natural.
Okay, so you want to say it's not a steer, it doesn't have to get involved in the issue of will you ultimately prevail
naturally,
or not?
Naturally,
there is resistance. That's right.
Might be exceptional, okay. But generally speaking,
a person has built it within him, whether he wins or loses, another issue. But a person has a self-defense mechanism, a person that fights back. A person in life has the koyach to, when things are not, you don't just give up. It's built into man to fight, to put up a fight. You just don't give in right away. Okay, that's true. The question is, gozer umikayim, there are forces in this world which are trying to cut us down, but to zel umazek, the Shemel created a koyach in this world, the will to overcome the harshness. Okay, very good. Baruch oseh vireishis. What do these three words mean? Blessed is he who has created the beginning. Ask the average person, they'll tell you, it's a code for Hashem created the world. Problem with that approach is, we already said that. Baruch she'amar v'hoyo ho'ilam. Right? Baruch omer v'yoseh. Baruch gozel mekayim, Baruch oseh
v'reishis. V'reishis that he made the time.
Oh, you just said that we thank Hashem he created time. Okay, that's a very different translation than the standard translation that Hashem created the world. Oseh v'reishis, v'reishis the code, v'reishis bar elokim, es hashamayim v'es aretz. Hashem, well, we already said that. Omer v'oseh, baruch shamar v'hoyi ho'ilam, we already said it in multiple ways. Why again repeat? So I always say it's poetic, we repeat the same thing again and again. It's much deeper. The most gashmiest thing in this world is time. In Shemayim, that's the number one impediment we have to spirituality. The number one impediment is that we have to say in the world of Olam Ha'Emes, Hoya Hove V'yiyah. There's no such thing as past, present, future. It's all the same. It's impossible for us to understand. Today, there's a lot of things in the news. I used to listen to after Lehrer in the morning. What's his name? Jim? What's it called? Public radio. NIP? Is that what it's called?
NPR?
So after NPR, there used to be a show by this guy. He's into the arts. What was his name? I don't remember his name. He was obsessed with this thing called string theory. There was string theory. String theory basically is this concept you can go back in time. It represents that the higher you go, we know that other planets, time travels at a slower speed.
Because of mass.
So keep on going. So why stop at Pluto? Keep on going. Seemingly, the further out you go, time gets slower and slower. Which is very interesting because that's something very spiritual. Because the fact that there's Hoya, and theoretically, according to this string theory, you can go back in time. There is such a concept of going back that out there in other planets, things that have not yet happened already happened. I don't know how all this works, but there is such a thing in this world. And it seems from the way he presents it that scientists today are obsessed with this. And a lot of research, a lot of work, a lot of chachomim and think tanks are thinking about these ideas of string theory, of the issue of time, and that really is it's a very spiritual concept of hoya, hova, v'yia. It's all one and the same. This world, the most gashmistic thing in this world is the thing which is the most intangible. What's the most intangible part of this world? Time. And yet that is the davar that's the most gashmi. It's a contradiction. Because we associate gashmius with things that you can touch. Spirituality are things that you can't touch. I can't touch ruchnius. The shechina, you can't touch. It's spiritual. Can you touch time? No, you can't touch time. But yet time is the most davar gashmi in this world. It's a contradiction.
There's time and space. They're both elements of Olam Hazeh.
But space is something you can touch.
Right, but
time you can't touch.
Gashmi as
right,
space.
Time, but that's the pella because we don't look at it like that. We look at ruchnius as something that you can't touch. It's purely in the mind. It's and what is the mind? What is the body? It's all there's no. It's not tangible. Gashmius, you can touch it. The earth.
You can change it.
You can play with it. Time is a mamish astira mineube. It's the ultimate, what's the word for a contradiction? It's the ultimate.
Economy.
What? The economy, it's the ultimate contradiction that time is the dover that is the most gashmi, but yet is the dover that's gashmi that is the most, that's not tangible. When we thank Hashem, oisem masei bereshis, because bereshis is in the beginning. In the beginning is a concept which refers to time. How do you know that we're referring to time? Because the beis is very interesting. The beis is not a real letter in the Torah. It's only a shimush. Reishis is beginning. Only reason why there's a beis before reishis is because the way the sentence is constructed in the beginning. But when you're composing the nusach of Baruch Shama, it was not necessary to say bereishis. It could have said Baruch Osei reishis. That would have been a code that Hashem created the world. A code for that the time of Reishis, Hashem created the Shemayim V'aretz. But it says Bereishis. Bereishis in the beginning. That has a whole different meaning, which means we're thanking Hashem for the concept of time. And that completely changes your focus when you say Baruch Shama. You wake up in the morning, it's a new day. It's a new time. It's a new tkufa. It's not yesterday. You thank Hashem for the existence of time in this world, and that allows you to accomplish things in ways you could otherwise not do in a spiritual world. Whole very deep idea.
Why is there a different nusach in Ashkenaz and Sephardim?
A different nusach? So the Bechli asking a general question.
Baruch Shama.
One, yes, a general question. Why is there a different nusach in every the whole nusach HaTfilah Ashkenazah? Sherev David Cohen has a beautiful piece. I didn't see such a thing anywhere else. And he elaborates upon this every so often through his 9 volumes of Masas Kapai. Nusach Sephard was a nusach that relates to Golos, the Bavel. Ashkenaz was a nusach of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is it's not Mashiach is not here in Eretz Yisrael, but it's more connected to living during a time of Geula, or at a time when there was not yet Golos. And that's why the Nusach of Svar is always V'yatznach pur konei v'korev Mashiach, may the Mashiach come. Yeah. Nusach Ashkenaz, Mashiach's already here. Or Mashiach, it's not the, really that's what it's about. And that is a consistent theme. Every time you want to ask, Ashkenaz says this, Svar says this. Well, if you're in Golos, you're living in Bavel, and you're yearning for Mashiach to come, then you're going to focus on... you have a different focus, and it answers a lot of questions. It's very true, because you don't look at it, because you look at people that are so svart. You look at them like they're, you know, they you get a sense they're more superior, they're more religious. They're wearing the bekesha and the gartel. And but the Ashkenaz, they're like, you know, they're the Golos people, the Ashkenaz people. Oh, they're the Balabat, and they're out. It's just the opposite. People who are the Ashkenaz are the people who are in the Nusach Eretz Yisrael. And the Nusach Svard are the people that are far out. They're the Golos people who are yearning to first make their way to Eretz Yisrael. So maybe with that you can somehow come up with some idea. Okay, another couple of short ideas. Say we have here Hokel. I don't know the answer, but Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Hokel of Harachman. There's a difference between Nusach Az and Svard. Ashkenaz has of Harachman. Svard has Ho of Harachman. However, or just the opposite. Svart has of Rachamon and Svart has ha of Rachamon. Yeah, Svart has of. Ha of with a hey. Ashkenaz has with a hey ha of Rachamon and Svart has of Rachamon. But there's an addition of Hokel. Now, I don't know the answer, but when you lay in the Megillah, there's a very big dilemma, a very big debate that's not resolved at the bracha that you conclude the Megillah. Harav es Shrivenu v'hadon es Tineinu v'anoikim es Tigmosen v'amashal v'gmul ho'oyin v'amashin v'ruchat Hashem ho'oyin l'amo yitzom b'gum v'kol tzoreem ho'kel ha'moshia. So do you say when you begin the bracha Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, do you say ho'kel harav es Shrivenu, or do you say harav es Shrivenu? So many argue you should not say ho'kel, it's redundant. Since you said Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, that says it all. There's no need to say Hokel. There's just Harav Shrivenu. Yet here, there's less amount of public. Everyone agrees. Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Hokel or Kel. Everyone says the word Hokel of Harachamon. So
I don't understand it grammatically, but
so okay, I'm not leaving this. Oh, I'm just leaving. Go back. I don't know the answer. Maybe we'll learn Purim and Yonim coming up soon. We'll come across this. But it's interesting that there's no one that disagrees. I just saw this pointed out. I didn't see a clear answer.
You know, Svar doesn't have a Kel in Purim. It's only Ashkenaz.
No. That's not so simple. That's not so simple.
Ashkenaz has it.
There are different opinions. There are different opinions. No. Okay. What do they have? You have a Svar instead of a Purim.
Both of them. The Sfar doesn't have.
Yeah, at all? Zero?
It doesn't say a kale at all. And
Ashkenaz, it has in parentheses.
It has a kale in a
parentheses. Yeah. Okay, so there's a difference of opinion.
It's not our school, it's a different
there. There's a difference of opinion, and what is interesting is why is there such a hot debate when it comes to the Nusach of the Megillah, the Bracha, and when there's no debate, it's hands down. No debate when it comes to Baruch Shamar. Everyone says Hokel. So what's you have to, in order to understand the debate by the Megillah, we have to understand why it's Hokel, which is a big mystery. I have not seen a clear answer why we say Hokel here. Ooh, what a pun! Excellent pun. Okay, one other quick thing I want to mention. We say over here, Baruch Gozer Umikayim Omer Vioseh Gozer Mekanah. It's a Gemara Masech the Brachos. Okay, I'm probably not gonna take too long to find it. But the Gemara Masech, the end of Masech the Brachos, and the Nuns talks about all the different Birchos HaShevach, all different types of Brachos a person makes. And believe it or not, there's a Bracha you make, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Gozer Mekayim. When do you make that Bracha, Gozer Mekayim? You make a Bracha with Shem Malchus. The Gemara says that if you go to Bavel, if you visit Bavel, the ancient Babylonia, and there's a special place there where every time an animal leaves, they would fill up its back with earth. And why do they do that? For construction purposes. The earth in this section of Babel is very good, it's very high quality, and they would use this earth for construction all over the world, all over Babel, all over the world. And to such a degree, it never happened that a donkey or an animal would leave this section, that would leave without its back being filled with. It's a waste of resources. You have a donkey that's traveling. You might as well fill up a sack of earth and put it on its back and ship it out, and someone will make money. This, the Gemara says, is really part of the curse, because Bavel was developed by Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar, in his extreme arrogance, he built Bavel, and in his extreme arrogance, he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. As a curse for what he has done to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, his land is cursed, and it will be completely obliterated, destroyed, ad kedei kach, that earth will always be taken out of the land. And this special makom was a place where it was actually seen in the time of Chazal, and you should make a bracha to see that Hashem's curse is being fulfilled. Baruch gozer umekayim. Hashem was gozer. I don't know where the pasuk is. It must be a pasuk somewhere in Yeshayahu or Malachim or Yirmiyah, where Hashem cursed Melech Bavel for destroying the Beis HaMikdash, that your land, your homeland will be destroyed and earth will be removed from your land. If you pass this place, you should make the Baruch, Baruch gozer umekayim. Now, I think it's Rav David Kono, maybe it's someone else, he takes note. That's why we say these words here when we say Baruch Sha'anar. Because Baruch Sha'amar follows, the beginning of the Pesuk, the Zimr, follows Korbanos. Korbanos is a bittersweet experience. On the one hand, Unshalma Fonim Sifosein, we're reciting Brachos, right? So when we recite Brachos, Korbanos, we're being Korbanos, we're coming close to Hashem, but we also have a lot of pain that we no longer have a Beis HaMikdash to offer the real Korbanos. It's a painful experience. We're missing the Beis HaMikdash. So we reflect, who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash? Nebuchadnezzar. The Bayis Sheni was never a real replacement. We know that. We discussed it many times. The Bayis Sheni never made it to the glory of the Bayis Rishon. It was just a temporary structure to give us some inspiration until the building of the Bayis Shlishi. But who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash? Bavel. So after we go through the Korbanos, and we focus on the Korbanos, and we have Tsar, that we no longer have a Beis HaMikdash, we want revenge. Our revenge. We want to know that Hashem will take revenge for us, and Hashem will destroy our enemy, Bavel. And indeed, we reflect upon this by paraphrasing the bracha that one is supposed to make when he witnesses firsthand the real churban, the continuous churban of the nation of Bavel. And that's why right after you finish Korbanos, you say, Baruch gozer umekayim, Baruch omer v'yoseh, to remind you, Hashem will punish the enemy for destroying the Beis HaMikdash, when we build the Beis HaMikdash, where we can bring the Korbanos once again. Now, in the middle of Pesukei Dezimra, we have an expression, and there's a debate as to where to put the comma. There are really two parts. There are two sections with this debate, but let's focus on one. We read here, Hakel Ha'ov Harachamon Hanhulol Befe'amo Mishubach Umefo'ar Bilshon Chasidov Avodov. Okay, he's praised in the tongue of his pious ones and servants. Uvishirei David Avdecha, and in the songs of David your servant. And then we shift. Nehalelcha, may we Hashem praise you, Hashem Elokeinu, b'shvachos u'bizmiros, u'negadelcha, u'neshabecha, u'nefa'ercha, v'namalichecha, v'nazkir shimcha, malkeinu Elokeinu. Question is, the middle words, u'vishirei David avdecha, is it going backwards, or is it going forwards? In other words, we write, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam, you are Hakel ha'ov harachamon, hamechulol befe'amo, mishubach u'mefo'or, bilshon chasidov va'avodov, and uveshirei David avdecha. David already did it. David wrote the whole Sefer Tehillim. David, or throughout the whole Nusach HaTfilah, there are all different places you'll find David already praised you, Hashem. And what about us? Well, we also have an obligation. We also, Nehalelcha, we will praise you, Hashem Elokeinu, b'shvachos u'bizmiros, negadelcha, u'neshabecha, u'nefa'ercha, v'namlicha, v'nazkir shimcha, malkeinu Elokeinu. We're also going to do our job. David did his, and we'll do ours. Now, that's not the way it appears. That's the way it really appears in my Siddur. In the Svart, there's a period, Mishubach u'mefor b'lshon chasidav avadav u'vishirei David avdecha, period. They put a period.
The Ashkenazi has the period.
I have here Nusach Svart.
And Nusach Svart doesn't have a period.
I have Nusach Svart. Art scroll.
And has a period?
Has a period. They changed it?
No, No, it has. Okay.
Uvashire David Avdecha, period. Nusach Sfar. What do you have in your Nusach Sfar?
I'm not using an R scroll.
Okay. Okay, that's a debate. Okay, right.
So in Nusach Sfar, it says, Uvashire David Avdecha, Nalelcha Hashem Elokeinu Shlokhuzim.
In your Nusach Sfar. That's not an R scroll.
Right.
Okay, the different minhagim. There's no. Right. Rav Pam was very upset. Rav Pam had tannus in the art school for putting in the periods and commas. Rav Pam did not. Rav Pam was recorded that someone drained him a cup. You know, the old art school. If you have to get an old art school, you'll notice, take a microscope, the nekudos were squares. Open up to the first page. You can see very clearly in the first page, we have the aleph bays. They used to have square dots. It's part of the style. Take an old art scroll siddur, the first editions of the old art scroll siddurim, they had square nekudos. It was part of the style of the font.
That was their font.
They designed the font, and it was, you know, in the 80s, it was an in thing. They had square dots for the nekudos. So someone went to Rav Pam and complained and says, in the Mesoira, I don't know what he's talking about, but that
it's supposed to be round.
Look in the Sefer Kabbalah, a nekuda is a round dot. What is this? Art school, they decided, they made a new Messiah and Klal Yisrael, square dots. Okay, so on the average, you open up the city, you can't tell the difference. But if you look carefully, they made new dots. So Rav Pam had a meeting with them, and Rav Pam said that they're right. The Messiah is to have round dots, not to have square dots. So our Mayor's line which says, okay, if you say so, we'll check. We can't go in the warehouse full of sidurim that all of our fans have. But the next edition from Mikan al Haba, we're going to change it to round dots. If you look very carefully, it's inconsistent because the style of the font. You ask a bucky in design, and they'll look at the font. Our school designed this font. They'll say that this font should have square dots. It would be more matin. It would flow better. It's a contradiction. They have square dots. Also, the komatz, the bottom of the komatz, is also round. Open up to the first page of the aleph base. Okay, you can get a hold of an old art school siddur. Old art school siddur, you'll see that they change. You'll never notice. You can spend your whole life, you'll never notice the difference between the old editions and the new editions. They changed. What?
Yeah, they're square.
You have square, you have an old art school siddur?
I guess.
Okay, my art school siddur here has round.
The front page,
you
see what page it was.
They're
all
squared up.
Yeah, so what year? What's the year? What does it say there? When was the. When was
this is the old one.
How was it printed?
New edition, 97?
92?
Can I have 2007?
Oh, that's cool. Okay.
So you see, they.
97. That's 10 years older.
Fascinating idea. So what else did Apam say? I heard this story. Apam also said he doesn't like the commas, and the dot and the periods. You're putting a comma? Who told you to put a comma there? There's so many different interpretations. Where the comma goes is a part of the past. Who told you to be machriya? You machriya deciding that this where it goes? Leave it blank.
So why didn't they change the same time? Instead of saying, blessed art thou Hashem.
Yeah.
Why did they say, blessed are you? I don't know.
They didn't change that?
No.
I don't know. Okay, one thing at a time.
Throughout, that's the problem with our school. Wherever you go, it says,
old style translation?
If you're not from it, you don't know, and you're translating, it says, blessed art thou Hashem.
Okay, I don't know.
I never did.
Okay, but the, another thing that he I heard about this, I don't know, I can't vouch anything is true, that he was not happy. Why are you putting in commas and periods? There's so many different interpretations. The whole nusach of the art school siddur, one of their innovations, does not appear in a lot of the old. Now the old do it. But in the old siddurim, before it came along with word processing and all this technology, you had a nusach atzil. There was no periods. There was no commas. Now the whole siddur, you can't go three words without a comma or a period.
But it makes it easier to understand.
Okay, that's their approach. That's what they believe. But by doing so, you're being machriya. You're providing interpretation.
Like, fine. Like in the Birchas Kahanim, there's a difference between
machloikis. Where you pause? Even among the Ashkenazim, there are different opinions. And like in Nisuch Gra, they disagree. Some shuls, so they're very into this. They white it out.
Even Nisuch Gra today, they have a different Gra than they had.
Okay, Nechnami. But you are being machuya. So not everyone is so happy with your approach. Why are you feel so confident to be machuya one way when there are look in the sources, there are other ways to go.
I'm looking at the burn map, and there are periods and commas. And by the way, in this particular sentence, they use a semicolon to obviously hedging their bets on Bishvachos.
Before David Avdeach. Okay, so Adrava has really illustrated the point very well. So what I'm trying to do is to bring about this point. This is a very big debate. Shirei David Avdech, is that going backwards? It's part of Ribbono Shel Olam, you're worthy of praise, and by the way, David did a great job. Period. We're also going to do our best. We're also going to do our best. We will give you praise. Hashem Elokeinu b'shvachos v'zmiros unegadelchu nishabeichu neferchu, so on and so forth. Fine. That's one approach. That's probably a much safer approach, because if you do the other approach, then what it takes on a whole new meaning. What it means is, and this is very interesting, because that means if you put the period after Bilshon Chasdav Avodav period, now look what you're saying. We will now, with the songs of David, Uvishirei David Avdecha, with the songs of David, Nehalelcha Hashem Elokeinu Bishvachos uvizmiros unigadelcha unishabecha unifarecha univamlicha v'nasker shem
Elokeinu. That's what we're going to do with the Pesukim.
No, that's not so simple. You know why that's not so simple? Exactly, because now you're exactly the Pesukim d'Zimra. So that means that we're going to do because the Ikar Pesukim d'Zimra are David's Pesukim d'Zimra.
Right.
Problem. What are the Ikar Pesukim d'Zimra? What are the
Yosher?
Yosher is not the Ikar. That's a much later edition.
Ashrei.
That's debatable. Not according to Rashi. Pesukim d'Zimra is the two Halalukas. You have to go through all the Rishonim. Go through the whole collection. What are the Pesukim d'Zimra? So we have a whole sitter. Everyone, you know, we're very nice. We're very generous.
We
throw everyone in. We
have to go do the makeup thing. We go through Ashrei. We don't.
But you have to know what are the Ikar, what's the Tafel.
According to this, yeah, is very important. When Rashi, according to Rashi, what was his
Bar Shama? Exactly.
Maybe he had a different Bar Shama.
You might have to say that. Exactly. Because, what do I mean? Because you're going to have to find me. You're going to have to define for me what is Pesukei d'Zimra. And you're going to have to show me that in the Shirei David Avdecha, we're going to make mention of each one of these words. Show me the word Shavach in Pesukei d'Zimra. Show me the word Zimra. Okay, that's the bracha.
Yeah,
that's not David's words. That's not David's words. So you have to find me a pasuk. Not so simple to find a pasuk. I didn't bring my notes today. Okay, very good. So you found it. That's an Ashrei. That is Ashrei part of Pesukei d'Zimra? According to Rashi, it's only the two halalukas, the third and fifth. The third and fifth. The according to Rashi, it's the third halaluka is the long one. No, that's not the Ikar. That's not the Ikar. The Ikar is the last one. The Ikar was the third one. Haluka.
The long one.
Shamayim. No, not that. That's the second one.
Okay,
the third one, Hallelujah, and the last one, Kel
Bukacho. So you don't know what his
Bar Shama
was. You can't discuss.
Exactly. And where are you gonna find for me a word Zimra? And where are you gonna find a word Negadelcha? Well, if you want to go say Vayivarech David is part of the Pesukim d'Zimra, so then that's part of Vayivarech David, right? L'choshem Hagidula. David did it. But that's not part of the Pesukim d'Zimra. That was a later addition, but it's part of David's words. That's Shirei David. This is all part of the issue. I don't have any answers for you, okay? But I just want to bring out that point that you're getting yourself into problems. If you want to put the period in the past, we will show Chasidav Avadu v'Shirei David Avdecha. Fine.
Very simple.
Hallelujah. We're gonna praise you, Hashem. We're not committing. We're not committing ourselves.
It's very interesting. This is a whole session on its own.
We're not committing to use David's words to praise you. We'll find our own words of praise. But if you're going to put the period before and now v'Shirei David Avdecha nehalelcha. Wait a minute. You can't go use nuschos, your own nuschos of the Anshe Knesset Hagdolah, or your own private nuschos. Maybe it's not just Pesukim d'Zimra, maybe it's referring to the rest of davening. You got to make sure that you cover yourself. You cover yourself that you're going to use them. You don't want to be a liar, right? You don't want to be a liar. And with the songs of David Avdecha, we're going to do the following. Yeah, you're going to do the following? You're so sure about that? Show me. show me where and how you're going to do the following with all of those words. Okay, that's a challenge. There are answers there. Rav Dovid Kony works all these things out. I don't have all the details on it, but I just want to bring out this point. Where you put the comma makes a major difference. And our so you see,
well,
two...
All
right. Look, we're sitting on this table. Three Sidurim. The Birnbaum has a semicolon.
Right.
Artskol Svart has the period after.
And here,
and here another Siddur, very modern, very that's a very good Siddur, Choshev Siddur. It's the Kol Yaakov, Kol Yaakov Siddur? What is it? The new Kol Yaakov Siddur, not the old one. The new Kol Yaakov Siddur, they reworked that very well. That has the period before.
Doesn't have any.
No period altogether.
Right.
The Machria, altogether. So you see, even living or even on the table, you see there's so many different opinions of where you put the comma. Because of the nusach, the svarj, where you put the comma makes a different interpretation of how you read the symbol Baruch Shamar. Okay, with that we conclude Baruch Shamar, and maybe some other time we'll do Hoidu.